The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Flash the index finger, hour number one of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the Morning, broadcasting on a cowbell Friday so you don't have to. You know what? I don't care. The Arizona Cardinals lost. Slide on them Jordache jeans, ladies and gentlemen. Take out that neon comb and brush back that fine feathered hair as you stand in front of the mirror. We all know the party is not going to be the same without you. Get your friends together and brush it back, ladies and gentlemen. Flash the one.
Everybody's working.
Everybody's working for the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, except, of course, the Arizona Cardinals. They're not working for the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. The Seattle Seahawks,
no, they
they're
need
not
to work.
Working for the weekend as well. They have finished their weekend. They're going to get some downtime, and hopefully it's going to heal up a little bit.
You want a piece of my heart?
We are flashing the one this morning. The one stands for the amount of personal fouls on a third down conversion. The amount of really dumb intentional grounding situations. And the amount of called runs in the first 14 minutes of the game. One!
Yeah! Where do you begin on this one right now?
I just
sit there and I just wait. Where do you begin on this one? Honestly, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you right now, full disclosure, I am so tired. I'm jacked up, though, because it's kind of like crawling through the high grass, right, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, all of a sudden, you're just in the weeds, down in the weeds. I've got all these plays running through my mind. It was just last night. Was it not last night? Was it just last night that the game was played? All of these plays are floating around my brain right now. What is the one play where it's going to stop? What is that one play where it's going to stop?
There's like nine biggest plays of the game.
Can you pick one play that you can start with right now? One play that you say, oh my goodness, you'd love to have that one back right there.
It's so hard, but I realize that's the point of your question. I would like to know, what would the outcome of the game be if Dre Kirkpatrick controls himself? I mean,
where I was going to start. I'm just telling you right now.
There's a lot of plays there.
Pretty good, Douglas.
I would like to know what would have happened if Kyler Murray would have thrown the ball past the line of scrimmage on the intentional grounding. What changes on that one? But to me, you just kind of have the feeling the Seahawks would have started to unravel if Dre Kirkpatrick doesn't commit that foul. But I'm guessing.
That's it, absolutely, Douglas. It is a guess. That's where I would start as well. And the reason why I would start there, Basonians, is only because I was a former player. Okay? I mean, that's what I am. I was a player. I'm now a former player. And that's where my mind goes. You just can't. You can't ever do it. You can't ever do it. Especially in a big game. And I understand, I'm not attacking Dre Kirkpatrick, ladies and gentlemen. I am not. I have lost my mind myself on a football field. One time, it happened to me. I got a personal foul penalty. I will not tell the story. I lost my mind and didn't care about where I was or what I was doing. Dre Kirkpatrick has got to be more disciplined, just like I had to be more disciplined.
If this team had any depth, I'd cut him.
The only difference is the fact that we were down by 28 when I did what I did, all right? This was a game, a big game, where the balance was still contested, and that's why it hurt so badly. You just cannot have that kind of lack of discipline. Can't have it.
Doug and Wolf, Big Red Reacts.
Go.
Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you're talking about fun to watch.
Presented by the Wecopa Casino Resort, where world-class action meets four-diamond splendor.
Wow. Another opening drive for a score against the Vance Joseph defense. 12 plays, 75 yards right in their face, despite play number one making us all think, here we go.
First down on the Seahawks 25-yard line. Wilson takes the snap, and it's play action. Wilson setting up. He's going to get sacked on the first play back at the 16-yard line.
Have you ever been that overconfident as a Cardinals fan? At play number one, you're thinking, here come the floodgates. Here we go.
No, I wasn't overconfident at that point.
Well, then you were right.
First down for Seattle at the 25 of the Cardinals. Scarborough is the running back. Wilson takes. Play fake. Half roll to the right. Now looking for the throw back to the left. It's not there, so Wilson takes off and throws it now right side of the end zone. It's caught by Metcalf for a touchdown.
That couldn't have been the coverage on that.
How many times did you actually see Russell Wilson step up in the pocket under pressure, keep his eyes downfield, mm-hmm. and convert on third down on that possession?
Mm-hmm.
Three times, I believe.
The first half third down conversions, 6 of 9. In the first half alone for Seattle, the Cardinals called 2 running plays the entire first quarter. Now, in the second quarter, then their drive really got going.
They go with 2 tight ends. Snap to Murray, handoff Drake straight ahead, down to the 1-yard line, fumbles the ball. It's Reed, and he's going to take a knee. Will they rule Drake down, or will they say that it's a turnover?
Players ruled as a fumble. Recovered by Seattle in the end zone, down in the end zone. Touchback. First down, Seattle.
How horrible was that call? Like, what are you guys watching? It was so obvious it was a touchdown, but at least we had replay to overturn it.
Can I tell you right now, Kenyon Drake, what a great job of getting the pig in. Great job, Kenyon.
Absolutely. So touchdown, Arizona Cardinals at 7-7. And then, again, like we've been talking about a lot lately, when the offense is slow and they finally get it going, that's exactly when the defense lets you down again.
Snap to Wilson, 4-man rush. Wilson has a ton of time, lobs it deep corner of the end zone, far side. Wide open is Lockett. He's got it for the touchdown. 2 touchdown passes by Russell Wilson to open receivers. It was Metcalf in the first quarter. It's Lockett here in the second.
It's just driving me crazy because I want to be fair. Back-to-back 3-and-outs by the Seattle Seahawks offense. So that means the Cardinals defense is doing something right.
Yeah.
Finally, the Cardinals offense now scores a touchdown. So here we go. Get them back on the field.
Sure.
And that's when the Cardinals defense allows another double-digit 75-yard drive.
It was so odd because I thought maybe Pat P busted that coverage on Tyler Lockett, and he did. But I thought he was supposed to be in man and then came off of him. They were not. They were in zone, and he came off of him. He jumped him and... Man, I'll tell you, Russell Wilson in his vision, it's so good.
And it looked like Patrick wanted to go with the tight end who was running into 3 Cardinals players in the middle of the field.
He was playing in a zone.
Then the end of the first half and another situation where in a 2-minute warning or less, the Cardinals defense blows it, gives up what should have been a touchdown, but it's off the face of DK Metcalf, and they settle for...
So on comes Myers, who's made 21 field goals in a row, missed an extra point. Snap, spot, the kick on the way, and it's good.
So now it's 16-7, Arizona Cardinals trailing, but you feel better about the third quarter drive, the first drive out of the half, 11 plays, 56 yards for the Cardinals.
They go 4 men wide to the left with Murray in the backfield. Takes the snap, drops back to throw, pumps left, now fires over the middle. It is caught for a touchdown by Dan Arnold. Dan Arnold pulls it in, and the Cardinals score a touchdown on the opening drive of the third quarter.
A great job right there. They had the fake wide receiver screen set up to the left out of bunch, and Dan Arnold just released into the end zone, touchdown.
So you had to feel good. You're right back in it. You're only down by 2, and Vance Joseph has had a whole half to make adjustments. And then the very first drive for the Seahawks.
3 receiver set. And it's a handoff to Hyde up the middle on first and goal at the 2 into the end zone for the touchdown. The Cardinals give him 6 points after the foolish decision by Drake Kirkpatrick to continue taunting DK Metcalf after the play was over.
Ugh.
Next.
Then you go into the fourth quarter, and it looks like the Cardinals are going to have another epic comeback.
Snap to Murray on third and goal from the 3. Drops back to throw, lobs it far side. Wide open in the end zone is Edmonds, the easiest touchdown of his life.
So you get back-to-back touchdown drives for the Arizona Cardinals. That had to make you feel good.
Great job by Kyler Murray keeping his eyes down the field against two edge rushers coming off on both sides.
Cardinals defense gives up one first down, but that's it. They force a punt and then back-to-back plays that leave your head scratching.
Receivers right and left, three men in the backfield. Snap to Murray, play action, setting up, trying to throw a screen to the left, has to just throw it into the ground. Incomplete, and a flag. They're going to get Murray for grounding.
Now, I love Kyler Murray. Everybody makes mistakes. But that was clearly an idea where someone thought they were just in practice. That they just, oh, what are you doing, Dan Arnold? You're mad, you're frustrated, you just throw it in the ground. And he totally lost focus that he's in the middle of a game right now. That actually might be crowd situation, too. It's just you lacked intensity and you forgot you were in a game.
Cannot happen. Kyler Murray will tell you that today. Guaranteed. And cannot happen.
What happened right after it?
Four receivers, three right, one left. Can't take a safety. Murray takes the snap 3 yards deep in the end zone. Fires a pass across the middle that's caught at the 10 by Hopkins, and that's it. But there's a flag down. Where's the flag thrown? Hopefully it's not in the end zone against the Cardinals. If it is, it'll be a safety.
Holding offense, number 64. This penalty occurred in the end zone. The result is a safety.
Pass factor.
I admit I didn't think of that. So then the Seahawks take the punt down and they get a field goal. But it's not that they got a field goal that's a big deal. That the Cardinals defense gave up a 12-play, 7-minute drive. It was 6 minutes and 53 seconds. Seahawks got the ball at the 9-12 mark and didn't kick the field goal until there was 2:19 left. And the Cardinals defense couldn't get off the field. 3rd and 10, they go deep. Instead of just trying to pick up some yards for a first down conversion, 2 timeouts used in a way that you don't understand, and then it leaves to 4th and 10.
4th down, 38 seconds to go. They have to get to the 17-yard line. 3 receivers right, 1 to the left. This is the game right here. Shotgun snap to Murray, drops back to throw. Steps up and is sacked at the 33-yard line. Sacked by Carlos Dunlap, and that's going to do the Cardinals in.
Disappointing 4-man rush right there. Kelvin Beachum got beat. It happens.
Can I be rude?
Yeah.
It was a 3-man rush.
Yes.
That makes it even worse.
Ugh. Tough.
Make you want to throw up in your mouth. We'll try not to next. A lot of parts of this game was disappointing. The offense takes the cake on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Pretty boy football.
Everybody's going to have their opinion no matter what.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
You got D-Hop, you got Larry, Christian Kirk, the running backs, Kenyon, Chase, even the tight ends.
I mean, we have everything that you need.
This offense has the potential to be the best offense in the NFL this year.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
It's like Event Friday. Listeners only meeting is coming up at 7:30. Because I have no problem admitting this to you. I'm struggling with how to handle today's show because, no, I don't think the season is over. No, I don't think the Cardinals will never recover. 2 games against the Rams are enormous in the month of December. There's so much left in a 6-game season when you're only a game out of first place that there's a ton here. Yet I do feel like if you don't get your head out of your butt, you're going into the playoffs as a 7 seed, which, hey, thank goodness we're even talking about that. And then you're out 1 and done and the season's over. And it's just such a missed opportunity this year because you keep seeing performances like that right when you start getting hope that this team is building on something.
You know, when I hear you say that, though, I totally agree with you, Douglas. Of course, the season is not over right now. What they're doing is they're going through a period right now where their young quarterback is going through a growth period, a growth spurt right now. This is a guy that has absolutely lit the lamp in Kyler Murray, and at the same time, he's got so much more room to grow as a second-year quarterback.
I like the positiveness of what you're saying, because here's my fear. The Seahawks said, we're not going to let your legs beat us. And Cliff could not out-coach Ken Norton. the receivers couldn't get open against third-string secondary, and the offensive line had penalties in a stadium without fans. It is so hard. I mean, I can't get mad at one group because I'm so mad at the other group. Okay. It just rotates around. I don't understand that.
Let me start right here, Basinonians. The biggest disappointment by far and away in this football game was the offense. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. The onus was on the Arizona Cardinals offense to come in and light up this Seattle Seahawks defense. I'm just saying it. I was expecting that to happen. The Cardinals offense did not play well. When the strength of your team is your offense and they don't play well, you're probably going to lose. And the Seahawks, especially when you play the Seahawks in Seattle, maybe the worst defense in the league, they've given up yards at a historic rate. Historic. The Cardinals gained 314 yards. 314. They've been averaging, what, 400, off the top of my head, 425, somewhere in there, 430 yards a game. 435 yards. Think about that. The Cardinals are I'm at a loss because what I saw was just flat-out disappointing. Kyler Murray, in that first quarter, you go back to the first quarter and look at how long he held the ball.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was totally locking in on DeAndre Hopkins, just locking in on him and not even going through a progression. And yet he held the ball, and it just discombobulated offensively in the first quarter, and that blew my mind. I did not expect to see that.
You're kind of in the same boat as me, even though you know more about the game, that when I'm at a game, it's easier for me to see what a defense is doing than when I'm watching it on television. Now, you're stuck watching the game on television, too, on road games. But
they weren't doing anything special.
It looked to me like they were just sitting in some soft zones, and all you had to do was find the open receiver four, just take what the defense gave you, and Kyler was waiting for the special play instead of just take what the defense gave you. And then I'm staring down Cliff because it's not Kyler's job, maybe it is, to check out of plays to be able to run the football. If we want to establish the run, calling one run in the first 14 minutes of the game is not going to establish the run.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, they didn't run the ball well, so why should he call runs? You can't run the ball well when you don't call the run.
Yeah. The way I want to see this team run the ball. You know I want to see a little bit more balance running the ball, and in particular, running it in a north-south kind of direction. So I'm not going to argue with you on that. The only thing I will tell you right now is if the Seattle Seahawks defense had any kind of strength, and I've been talking about it leading up to this game, it's their rush defense. That's their strength. Number four in rushing yards per game, number four in rushing yards per play. They're good at it. That's the one thing they can actually do is defend the run. The one area they're historically a nightmare is their pass defense. Dead last in the National Football League. Dead last in giving up first downs. Yards are just chunk, chunk, chunk. So if, in fact, I said, you know what, I expect Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals to come out and throw the ball and test this secondary from the very beginning. And that's exactly what happened. At some point, do you have to adjust going into the second half? Yeah, you do. The problem was they were behind.
Yeah, and now they're the Seahawks are in the game. I just look at the back-to-back three and outs for the Cardinals offense to start, and no running plays or one running play called in those back-to-back three and outs. And I'm thinking, at what point do we not look and say, here's what their defense is, and we say, we are the number one rushing offense in the world.
Right.
You deal with us. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. In the second half, maybe you'd want to see it a little bit more right there. But once again,
I would have said in the first half. Go.
When you look at the tape, when you watch the Seahawks play defense, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing you can think of, they suck buttermilk. And I'm talking about their pass defense. That's why I understand what happened. When you look at it, look at the yards they give up on the chunks they give up. It's How in the world are you not going to have Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk go off in this game? That had to be the game plan. It had to be. Watch the tape.
I would say once you see Kyler struggling, whether it because he's waiting for the big play, as I'm guessing, or also when he did make a pass, it seemed like yards after the catch were negated by inaccuracy. Not accuracy that's so terrible that you don't have a chance at it, but just hitting a guy right in stride so he can then get yards after the catch. That's not always possible. Sometimes you're intentionally throwing it behind a guy to get him down, blah, 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 things like that. But it just seemed like there was a lot of times where a receiver has to stretch, has to do something to get the ball, that even making the catch was all you could ask for.
Yes.
How many of those third and twos could have been a 10-15 yard game? Nothing spectacular, but just hit the guy in the chest and a guy's making a great catch along the sideline just to get you 3 yards.
Yeah, I'm wondering how bad that shoulder was for Kyler Murray. I'm not trying to offer an excuse. I do know he went down. Collier landed right on top of him, along with another Seahawk as well, right on top of him. The shoulder was driven into the ground. He went over, and the first thing he said was, Tom. And it was Tom Reed, the head trainer for the Arizona Cardinals, came over and he's looking at his throwing shoulder. They were putting a heat pack underneath it every time he came off the field.
Clearly an issue.
I have no idea what is wrong, and hopefully nothing's wrong with Kyler Murray. But maybe that had a little something to do with him as well in terms of his accuracy.
Coming up next, do you remember how many penalties they had? And of all of them, is there one you could even declare the worst? It's a hard question. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I appreciate that, Minch. Thank you very much, Command and Control. I need this. I'm not joking. For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, whoever that may be.
When we get up Monday morning, it's all about the Bucks. Everybody go Bucks. Not with a K, though. I don't really care about Ohio State, Indiana. It's go Bucks without the K, as in Tampa Bay against the Rams.
Yes.
To try to keep this even instead of chasing two teams in first place and keep the Rams in a tie with the Cardinals
place. That could be a five-star game. Could be, I say.
Oh, boy. Last night, Cliff Kingsbury in the press conference actually said, and I apologize, I didn't count to back this up because I don't know if he was saying it sarcastically out of frustration or if it was totally true and he's counting declined penalties, but he said 16 penalties in the presser. And I would have to cheat and look up, okay, how many penalties were declined? Officially, statistically, the Arizona Cardinals had 10 penalties in this game. Their 10 penalties accounted for 115 yards. You remember full well the touchdown drive that had two 15, a total of 30 yards in penalties for the Seahawks. Other than that, they were 6 penalties for 39 yards. You know, that's not that terrible at all.
Yeah.
And yet it was a bad performance by the Cardinals penalty-wise, and the most impossible question of the day, which one was the worst? I mean, the Sweezy penalty is a turnover and points.
Yes.
So technically, you can't get any worse than that.
Yeah.
When you have a penalty and give them points, but there's no way that penalty happens if it's not for the intentional grounding, which was just a total mental brain fart. Yet, how dumb does it sound if I say I don't think either of those two were the biggest penalty? Because the Cardinals get the ball to start the second half. They march down the field and they get a touchdown. And then on a third down, the first third down of the second half, it would have been a 3-and-out for the Arizona Cardinals defense, and you're getting your offense right back on the field. That's when the Dre Kirkpatrick penalty takes place.
Yeah, Douglas, honestly, right now, if I had to pick what was the worst penalty, to me it was the grounding. It wasn't. I'm not trying to pick on Kyler Murray, whom I love and respect, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying right now, this kid's talent is off the chart, and he is continuing to grow. But that, to me, was the worst, and it was because that's why they got a holding call in the end zone in 2 points, because of that grounding by Kyler Murray. You just can't do it. He was upset at Dan Arnold. It looked like he was upset at Dan Arnold for a reason. He was gesturing, and he just, out of frustration, it looked, threw the ball into the ground. You have to know the rules.
Yep.
You have to know the rules, especially when you play quarterback. You've got to know the rules and understand what that's going to do.
And to quickly explain what happened on the play, if you either didn't see it or you don't know all the rules, it appeared he had a good reason to be mad at Dan Arnold, because Dan Arnold turned his head and just started arbitrarily running up the field instead of being an escape valve of some kind.
It looked like they were trying to set up a screen
Arnold. And I think, Dan Arnold looked at him, and once he was under pressure, for some reason, Dan just broke up field and thought, I'll turn around 5 yards down the field and then look at you. Well, Kyler, upset, on a screen pass, you are allowed to basically bury the ball at the player's feet. There's just one problem. Dan Arnold was gone, so you're not burying it at his feet. And if you're not throwing it at someone's feet on a screen, you've got to get that ball over the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And to me, it was a total, almost practice-like thing. Because that's what you would do in practice. Somebody's right on top of you, boom, just get rid of it, throw it into the ground right next to your own feet. Hey, what are you doing? You argue, and then you start the next play. And it was almost as if he had practice intensity on that play and not the focus of, I'm in a game.
The reason why I say I thought that was the worst penalty is because it was Kyler Murray. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the quarterback. I'm just telling you right now, the quarterback has got a higher responsibility in everything that he does. Isn't that right, Gray Beard? Kurt Warner will tell you that, and he's told us that. It's always the quarterback's fault. At some point in time, you've got to overcome that. Somebody made a mental error. You got to make a play. You got to do something. The one thing you can't do is ground the ball.
Yep, you're right.
In that situation, because it led to 2 points.
Cliff?
Yeah, I think it was like 16 penalties maybe for over 100 yards, which you're not going to win in this league doing that, and especially against a quality team like Seattle. So that's unacceptable to have that many, and we got to clean that up.
All right. Well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, what are you going to say?
I just got to refocus and be better moving forward. The guys, you know, when that occurs, most of the time they're already feeling bad about the situation, and so you just try to make sure we can get past it and not allow it to happen again and not allow it to affect us moving forward.
For me, and you're the one that played the game, when there's that many penalties against an opponent that I'm not going to say is just full out weaker than you are, but their injuries put them in a position where they are not nearly as talented as the typical Seahawks team. It's all about focus. I kind of get penalties when the other team's better than you, and man, you're giving all that you got, and you just get whooped, and you grab them real quick, or you have a false start because you're scared to death. You realize who's across the line from me, or you're playing in Seattle with fans. I want to be understanding of those penalties, because you're not out there playing solitaire, as Red Auerbach used to say.
Right.
This is a hard game.
Yes.
But the penalties last night just seemed like a lot of them were a total lack of focus on doing your job.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because the Dre Kirkpatrick penalty, was that a bad penalty, ladies and gentlemen? Was that bad? Oh, my goodness. They were off the field. It would have been a field goal attempt by the Seattle Seahawks. They were off the field. And then Dre Kirkpatrick gets hit with the taunting penalty, and suddenly they score a touchdown a few plays later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was absolutely awful. There's no doubt about that. Yet, from my perspective, and I'm sorry, but as a former player, this is how I feel. I understand that one. You lose your mind! You lose your mind! I have no idea why he lost his mind, but sometimes it happens because you're so jacked up and you lose your mind. I did that! I did it myself! It didn't cost us the way that it cost the Arizona Cardinals last night, and that was the problem. So I don't want to sound like I'm attacking Dre Kirkpatrick when I've done the exact same thing myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I went into the stands not once but twice where cops were holding my legs. I mean, have I lost it in a game? Yes, I have. So I don't want to sound like I'm attacking this guy, but that was a bad thing. You could see how many guys too were trying to calm him down. So many guys. Patrick
DK
Peterson
must have said something crazy or spit on him.
Have to wonder,
because the reaction was so instantaneous and so crazy.
Oh, it just. But man, did that hurt the Arizona Cardinals? They were off the field. They were going to force a field goal attempt. As it was, it turned into a touchdown. It's just brutal.
Coming up next, our Pauly Pigskin report. Paul Calvisi, sideline reporter for the Arizona Cardinals. If you don't know this, there's restrictions on travel for broadcast teams across the NFL due to coronavirus, but they're allowed to send their sideline guy, Paul Calvisi, with a different view than anybody else had. The exclusive is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Doug and Wolf.
Let's go!
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Paul talks to football players and tries to stay out of the way. It's the Pauly Pigskin Report.
Yeah, Pauly Pigskin Report.
Can't feel my face. Oh, is this on? I'm sorry about that. Here we go.
Was it a little chilly?
Forget the weather, Doug. Of course, the one year that I'm not on the sideline is the year it doesn't rain. So, of course, yeah. I mean, what is going on with that? It was in the mid-40s or so. It was just crazy how quiet the building was, though. And just everything about it was so opposite, right? That without the 12s, there's no crowd noise. There's no need for silent counts. And yet the Cardinals still had four false starts.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean, it's so confounding. It's
no comprendo.
And I tell you what's confounding if you're one of the coaches is that they keep stressing fast starts. And I can tell you, they told the guys in that hotel, we need a fast start. We need you guys to play with an edge from the get-go. And they're not getting it, obviously. They're not getting it. Players, and it's tough. The building is so dead. That's why we've talked about from week one, BYOE, bring your own energy. You can't feed off anything. And there's Seattle on their opening drive, and you guys talked about it. They convert three third downs, that third and two, they pitch it to Carlos Hyde. By the way, sometimes you just don't overthink things. Let's pitch it to Carlos Hyde and let him run behind DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, you're basically telling the Cardinals secondary out of the gate, who wants some? I would do that about five times a game, five wide receiver screens, or just run behind DK Metcalf and see what kind of, which pencil neck DB is really going to front him up.
It's amazing on that first possession. I thought the Cardinals defense did a great job forcing third downs, forcing that situation. With the Seattle Seahawks, this is a team that they get a lot of chunks on first and second down. I thought they did a great job of actually getting in position to get off the field. And all of a sudden, they let him make plays, and
Paul,
Russell Wilson was the guy.
Paul, I'm wondering, since you were there, you mentioned it before, the four false start penalties.
Yeah.
Did they still congratulate the 12s on the scoreboard?
You know what? A lot of the same PA effects and crowd effects are
really?
Playing, even
are you
without
kidding?
The fans.
Are you kidding?
It's just, it is. Everyone's sort of looking at each other. All right, so the Cardinals' first couple of drives, not sharp, obviously. And again, we talked about it on the broadcast. We're not sure, is Kyler just not seeing the coverage because they changed a few things up? Or was he locking on a D-hop? And you know what? I get it. He was being covered by Trey Flowers. A lot of times without any help over the top, Trey Flowers is a corner who lost his starting job earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And so you like that matchup, but Trey Flowers tall. He's like 6'3", and he came up and did a lot of press man.
Yes.
And they just, it's hard to believe the longest completion of the game against the worst pass defense in NFL history going in was the 25-yard chunk throw to Max Williams to set up the first touchdown, which, by the way, after Kyler had initially locked onto and looked at D-Hop, he came off D-Hop and found Max Williams.
Yeah, that was confounding, Paulie. It looked like he was holding the ball an awful lot in that first quarter and locking in on DeAndre Hopkins, to me. But that's just my opinion.
And then when the Cardinals are on defense and they went with the blitz bail look that we saw in the second half of overtime of Sunday Night Football, it looked like the Seahawks' adjustment was, you know what, we're just going to get the ball out quick. Here comes a bubble screen to the flat. We're going to get this ball outside the box where all the craziness was being dialed up. And that was pretty effective, that response, and made the Cardinals tackle in space. And, you know, of course, it wouldn't be a first half without the opponent beating the halftime clock with a mandatory last-second field goal. So if you're scoring at home, you got Miami kicked a 56-yarder right before the horn at half. Buffalo, a 58-yard bomb, and then Seattle puts a 27-yard field goal right through, right before the half again.
And remember, it could have been worse if it wasn't for DK Metcalf's face getting in the way of his hands.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only thing worse than the ball hitting his face mask was during halftime in the PA. Doug, this is for you, okay? You're talking about the fan. They're always playing grunge music. They have not moved on in Seattle. The PA guy has not moved
Neither's
on.
Neither's Wolf, so why are you ripping
him? I mean... If you're going to do a color rush alternate jersey, Calvisi Consulting says, you know what, Seahawks? Just get it over with and go with a flannel jersey. You guys need to debut like a flannel jersey and sell a flannel jersey in a signed by Dave Grohl, and you can just sell it in the team shop at this point. Anyway, the Cardinals had 24 yards rushing at the half, 107 total yards against that.
107 right there, Bully. Stop.
I mean,
stop
they were
right there.
They were allowing 448 yards a game, and that number was the worst in NFL history.
The worst.
And how much of that had to do with Kyler's shoulder? Was he reluctant to run it? Would risk contact? Cliff hesitant to call it. He had only 5 carries, 15 yards rushing. You saw him wincing on the sideline. He was getting the constant heat treatments. He was asked, was it a factor?
No, I'm good.
Okay, but he was sacked 3 times and hit 7 times, whereas in their first meeting, he wasn't touched once. So that obviously made a difference. And then you get the personal foul, right, on Quandre Diggs. And I tell you, this was actually the wake-up call for the Cardinals. Not only did it extend the drive, but while the officials are sorting it out, you could hear all the yelling between the two teams.
Yep.
And for the first time, you really heard the Cardinals getting animated all the way up in the radio booth. I mean, a lot of stuff I can't repeat, but it fired the Cardinals up at that point.
Yeah, Paulie, I thought there was no doubt about
it. You watched it on television. Yeah.
Dave Pasch and I were talking about that very thing, just the fact that this could be the thing that really fires the Arizona Cardinals up, and it did.
And, but doesn't that bother you? I mean, what bothers me is I realize it's a pandemic. I realize you're in a building that you're used to noise and there isn't any, but you're going for first place before Thanksgiving. It's no longer September, and it takes a hit on D-Hop for you to get fired up in the third quarter?
Yeah, but we all know there's intensity. And then there's intensity, right? And
you just now we're playing some football.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly right.
I don't think they had that first one, though.
You think you're under control. You can't be a slobbering wild man and go out and play the game of football. You have to be under control.
And then Bobby Wagner had the horse collar flag. He got... And you could hear the Cardinals sideline. Both Darren Urban and myself reacted. Somebody yelled out from the Cardinals sideline, "Bobby, you can't do that." And it's just so 2020 when in a typical game in that stadium, you can't hear someone from 1 foot away from you, and you can hear them all the way across the entire stadium yelling from the sideline.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
The talking ball.
Anyway, Cardinals had their own moment. Dre Kirkpatrick decides, hey, why don't I just lose my marbles right now at this critical point in the game and draw a 15-yard flag to extend the drive when we had already gotten off the field? And then two Hyde runs later, the Seattle Seahawks are back on top. And so Vance Joseph made a beeline for Dre Kirkpatrick. Remember, they have a history in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And very stern conversation. Vance Joseph sort of mimicked like he wanted to slam his clipboard. And then, speaking of, Hassan Reddick, as the whole team came off after the PAT, Hassan Reddick spiked his helmet off the bench. And, I mean, Hassan's a guy who's intense, but he always manages his emotions. So that was telling. That was telling, the level of frustration, on the defensive teammates.
Did the ear pads fly?
No, but it got a good 3 feet. When boom, it was that whole dead cat bounce right off the bench.
Nothing came out of it?
Not that I saw.
Oh, cool.
Well, if I'm up at the mezzanine level, I'm not sure.
Right.
So anyway, by the way, the penultimate throw to Andy Isabella. I know a lot of fans are like, Andy Isabella in crunch time. Well, guess what? He was wide, stinking open, but the throw was late. He was open for a good 2 or 3 seconds, and the throw was just late getting. That's the one image I'm haunted of. That for everything that went wrong, and as poorly as the Cardinals played, they had a shot at the game-tying touchdown because Andy Isabella ran free for a good out of his break for a good 2 or 3 seconds, but the ball was late, didn't get to him until he was almost near the pylon. So That was frustrating. And then the fact that Cardinals are held to a season-low 57 yards rushing, you know, at Kyler.
He definitely played for me, you know, in certain situations, but put up 21, had a chance to win the game at the end.
Yeah. And by the way, the game plan Seattle threw out there, Kenyon Drake?
We have to do a better job of executing against a solid front. We had a little trouble earlier in the year against Detroit running that. They also did a decent job the last time we played them, but we were able.
He says they're going to see that again. Whatever they were, you know, whatever they were doing exactly. And by the way, you know you're really tired when you're on the team plane, and you're still wearing your and you're trying to stuff a fork full of food into your mouth, and you're still wearing your mask. You're so used to wearing your mask on the entire trip that you try and feed yourself, and the mask is still on, and then the fork slams into your mask.
Want to get away?
And that's when you know you're tired.
I'm sure you're saying you saw someone else do that, Paul. That wasn't autobiographical.
That is Paul's call.
Paul, who are you talking to? I mean, on the plane, are you sitting there with a big L on your forehead? Who are you talking to?
No, I would say you should. You know you're tired when it's only 6:56 and you yell, "That's Paul's call."
That's right.
But you've already checked. Yeah,
you're right.
It's already.
When obviously, it's the Paulie Pigskin report.
That's right, Paulie.
And I'm
Paul.
Paul's ready for to flash the fork.
Hey, Paul.
He wants some lover boy.
Way to tough it out, bud.
Coming up next. Who stopped Kyler Murray from running the football? Was it the Seattle defense or Cliff? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.